This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited to join us. 603-283-6160 is the number for that. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Lori, and Nikki.
And we're talking about government shutdowns of the internet. And again, I just have to challenge anyone to just take one weekend or even just a 24-hour period. And don't prepare for it, right? Because you don't get to go out and buy a bunch of books before the government shuts down your internet. So don't prepare for it. Don't go ahead and download a bunch of movies or buy a bunch of DVDs or whatever. Just suddenly, one day, pull the plug, see how far you make it before you have to turn the internet back on. It's a harrowing experience, and governments around the world have done it 850 times, most of them in the last 5 years. And, you know, this story here talks about the economic impact and the devastation that that's happened. And it goes on, that's to say nothing of the impact of shutdowns on individuals, some of whom shared their stories with Access Now for the report. A Ugandan woman told the story of how she went to town to use the ATM, only to find that it wasn't working and neither was anything else connected to the internet. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I didn't think about that either.
So if she doesn't have cash on her, there's no card payments. She's just SOL.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. So she wouldn't even be able to buy groceries or anything for her family.
Everything was down, and everyone seemed confused about what was happening and stranded, like me, the woman wrote. There's more about this, and it's worth getting into because it's disgusting what governments are capable of doing and what they want to be capable of doing. But we are a call-in show. We have a caller, so let's go to Gabriel from Minnesota. Gabriel, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, one thing I thought was pretty encouraging, at least potentially, was that Jordan Peterson had an interview with Bob Murphy. He had him on there to talk about Austrian economics, and Jordan Peterson seemed really interested in trying to absorb and comprehend the concepts there.
Jordan Peterson is sort of one of these right-wing talking people, right?
Yeah, to some extent. I'm not sure if he has a direct political affiliation. I mean, some of his points are leaning slightly left, but mostly right as far as that spectrum goes.
Isn't he the dude that said, isn't he the one who's fixated on, like, Taylor Swift's eggs and whether or not she can get pregnant past 30?
I'm not sure. I know he's a psychologist in that he's been on Joe Rogan and stuff. But
yeah,
he kind of
defied the policies at his university where he was a professor. I don't know if he still is, but he kind of made his name by like defying the idea that you have to say their pronouns however they want, or else you're committing hate crime somehow. But I just found it really encouraging. He's basically been a kind of an idol for a lot of the younger men out there these days who are, you know, kind of feeling, I don't know how to describe it, sort of insufficient, and he kind of encourages them, so then they look up to him. But,
okay.
Yeah, that's what I
get. It's good to be a positive role model.
Sure.
But you said you wanted to talk about violence.
Yeah, I also want to talk about violence. The difference between violence and self-defense. So I was reading John Locke's two treatises on civil government.
Well, to be fair, self-defense is violence. The argument is just that it's justified violence.
Well, I wanted to look at the word a little bit. Violence is kind of a derivative of violation, and a peaceful person is the one being violated. So if somebody initiates force, harmful force, wrongfully against another, then that would be an act of violence. But the other one, who's on the defensive, using also force, wouldn't be called violent force. There'd just be defensive force, right?
I would call it defensive violence, sure. And, I mean,
well,
sure.
The other person initiated a violation. The defendant.
I mean, the etymology of the word doesn't matter. Words change in their meanings over time. I mean, we can go back to using 15th century definitions of words if you want, but none of us would be able to carry on a meaningful conversation. To me, that's the part that matters. And what does violence mean today in English? And it's
behavior involving physical force intended to hurt, damage, or kill someone or something.
Yeah. That is the violence that I would go with, because that's what all of us understand violence to mean.
Sure, in modern parlance, but if you want to get into the philosophical perspective of it, digging it back a little bit, it's not very far to go to see that it's derived from the word violation. And a peaceful person is the one being violated. Their defensive force in response to that, according to John Locke, the violator, the initial violator.
So we're back to the 17th century to get our definitions.
Well, he's one of the foremost thinkers still on the concepts of how to apply property rights and how to distinguish between legitimate or illegitimate leadership, basically.
Are we also going to go to the 17th century for definitions of marriage?
I don't know. That doesn't matter to me. That's kind of a thing between two people and God, right?
But that's not what the 17th... That's not how John Locke understood it.
I don't think I read anything in his two treatises on civil government for...
I didn't say he wrote anything about it, but I guarantee you that John Locke back then, he understood that the definition of marriage was a betrothal thing involving bridal dowries and... basically a father selling their daughter into being a wife. Should we go back to that, since we're using their definitions of things?
To join together in communion of interest to produce children or advancement of the species is John Locke's definition of marriage.
Oh, so he does indeed have one.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
okay, so
defined it himself. Okay, interesting.
Okay, so he is against gay marriage. So are we going back to being against gay marriage because John Locke said that marriage was to produce children?
Nah, I mean, somebody can be right on some things and then wrong on a couple. So, you know, I wouldn't hold him up as some paragon of ultimate virtue. But he did have a good definition there on who's a violator and who's not. His description was like, if somebody violates a peaceful person, they're initiating a state of war. And in that case, they're basically volunteering that they put all themselves on the line, their risk all the way up to and including the loss of their own life, if they're going to violate somebody, a peaceful person's rights to property or,
I agree with that.
Sure. That helps us define what violence is. Defensive force wouldn't, probably even in today's technical terms, ought not to be considered, self-defense shouldn't be considered violence.
But it is literally violence in the modern sense. It's just justified violence.
It still shouldn't be considered. I'm saying we're calling it.
It's not aggression, but it is violence.
But violence is violating someone.
Yes, if you use a 17th century definition of the word, and you don't want to communicate to anyone who lives in the 21st century, I mean, if you want to have a conversation with John Locke, absolutely use his definitions. If you want to have a conversation with someone living today, use their definitions.
So to me, self-defense would be defined as preventing suffering or violence. The prevention of violence would be self-defense.
Thank you tonight for the call, Gabriel. Etymology is a weird thing. I mean, words change over time. The same people who want to, there's a big push to use the historically correct meaning of gender to mean sex. And it's like, okay, look, but if you go just one step further back, gender is just a synonym for category. It's a category of thing. So, definitions, what they used to mean, not relevant to me at all. I don't care how the ancient Romans defined a thing. I don't care how John Locke defined a thing. What I care is, how can I communicate with people? And sure, I understand if I'm going to read John Locke, I have to understand his definitions for things.
Or like Shakespeare. It's like, I remember in high school reading Shakespeare was like, you had to decipher everything they were saying, and you had to like full-on analyze it. And it took you like the entire semester to read the play.
Yeah.
Because it was probably like less than 100 pages that you were reading, but it was just so crazy to decipher as a high schooler that you literally needed it to be broken down to understand what they were saying.
Yeah, you run into that a lot when reading a lot of the Founding Fathers and stuff like that. The words they use are not only spelled differently than how we spell them today, but they mean entirely, well, not entirely different things, but they mean different things today. What are your thoughts? 603-283-6160. Maybe you can look it up on the internet, which 850 times.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. As always, you're invited to join us. 603-283-6160 if you want to do that. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And September 4th at 3:33 p.m., there's an event coming up. You can join the Smiles and Hugs for Peace virtual event, but you don't need an internet or a digital device to participate. You don't need any internet, sorry, to participate, which is good for these people in these countries that 850 times have had their internet disconnected, because the virtuality of this event is in the fact that Star Child will not be physically present, but will manifest for you to the extent that your magical thinking allows you to conjure his presence. If you don't know who or what he is, that doesn't matter. Don't let that be an impediment to whatever magic you may experience. At approximately 3:33 p.m., you may hear the ringing of a bell or bells or other unusual sounds, especially if you set a phone alarm for 3:33 p.m. Pause whatever you're doing, look around you, and start smiling. If you see someone else grinning, give that person a hug. If you see someone else smiling and coming towards you, stop and give them a hug. As you hug, hold this intention in your mind. A world based on love and cooperation, not coercion, is possible. Both smiling and hugs are healthy and good for you, containing no carcinogens, trans fats, or high fructose corn syrup, and hopefully no artificial ingredients. I always love doing that. Anyway, let's go to the phones. We have James calling from Arizona. James, you're on Free Talk Live. Going once.
Doctor.
Oh, he's there.
Hey, doctor. Oh, I'm there. Yeah. I wonder how much time I have because I called to yell at you, like, as invited by...
Are you even talking to me?
If you want your...
Are you on speakerphone?
Doctor. Oh, forgive me.
Take yourself off of speakerphone, James. Otherwise, we can't really
doctor,
hear you.
Hey, doctor.
That's
forgive me.
So much better.
I hope I have the time back because I called in to answer James's query, and he asked for people to call and yell at him about a subject you were talking about earlier. And I'm profoundly sorry for any medical difficulties. A thing, as James Baker calls it, inside you, a thing, had medical difficulties that, given that you live in the 21st century, you knew that before.
Are you referring to abortion?
A chance to be born. I'm referring to a fellow human being, James Baker. And I was going to ask the doctor if James Baker were in your...
James, I'm going to give you one more warning. If you dead name me again,
James
I'm
Baker,
dropping the call.
Doctor,
that's it. Have a good night, James. Stupid and pointless. Evidently, James is anti-abortion or whatever terminology they use.
Or whatever he was trying to say was kind of very unclear.
Yeah, the gist of it that I got was something about being pro-life, I think is the term they use, but I don't know.
Pro-forced birth.
It was very unclear. So anyway, back to the story about internet censorship and government shutting down the internet. The 2011 Egyptian shutdown and others since have drawn attention to the role internet service providers play in countries where very few exist. In highly developed markets like the United States, where there are thousands of ISPs, the sheer size of the market provides a degree of protection. I don't think it does that the U.S. government told all of the ISPs, passed a law saying, hey, look, get rid of the internet service right now. I don't think it would matter how many there are. They would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But in many countries, as in Egypt in 2011, the web can be brought to a shuddering halt with just a few phone calls. Access Now is calling on ISPs in those countries to resist government pressure to block or throttle internet access and to report the requests they receive. Global companies like Facebook and Google, meanwhile, have a role to play in tracking internet outages and determining whether they were intentional. Maybe Facebook is being blocked or Google platforms are being shut down in these areas. Can you find out what is happening on the ground? That context is always important. You can see a drop in traffic, but once you have the context like, okay, there's an upcoming election, there's an ongoing conflict, then we're able to see whether this is an intentional attempt by the authorities to keep the rest of the world in the dark or if this is a technical problem. Governments also are paying attention. A number of global groups, including the United States, have condemned internet shutdowns as a violation of basic human rights. I don't think it's a violation of I guess so. Free speech is a basic human right. So I guess I agree with them on that. I just don't like saying that the internet is a basic human right.
Yeah, because it's not a natural thing, right?
Right. And it has to be provided to you from another human being, so it can't possibly be a human right.
And, I mean, if someone was setting up their own internet, but even then it's just, I don't know, we're getting very 21st century
I'm going to say that free speech is a basic human right, and the government inhibiting your ability to use the internet and express your free speech is a violation of human rights. But you have no right to access the internet unless you pay someone for that service. But Antonio insists more pressure is needed, saying, quote, the more voices we have speaking the same language and pushing back against this particular problem, the more the issue becomes important for the various stakeholders that are able to influence or bring that problem to an end. I can't imagine very many of these companies in Egypt that, you know, shut down the internet in 2011 were, like, publicly traded and had to worry about stock values and stuff like that. Maybe they were. I don't know a whole lot about the Egyptian economy, though. At any rate, the ability of governments to shut down the internet is a problem, and I don't know how... Look, the military in Egypt took over the government in 2011 in a military coup. You really expect an internet service provider to tell those same people, no, we're not going to shut down the internet for you, even though you're the military and you just took over everything.
Right. No, exactly.
The military would just take over the ISP.
Right.
And shut it down that way. So I can't say I even blame the ISPs for cooperating because the internet was going to get shut off either way. But if they did it this way,
they didn't get killed.
Yeah, and they didn't get killed, which is the real problem here is how do you hold governments accountable for their actions? You can't expect companies that have licenses to lose, especially in military dictatorships that just, you know, had their military take over their entire government, to be the ones willing to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that. Because they're the military. If they want to do a thing, they have the guns and the means to do it, whether you like it or not. Such as the U.S. government recording 33,000 phone calls of a New York Times writer who was charged as being a paid Iranian agent. A journalist, basically. U.S. government, 33,000 of his phone calls being recorded. The U.S. government was surreptitiously listening in on the calls of a frequent New York Times opinion contributor, who now faces federal charges for allegedly being an unregistered foreign agent of Iran. The Times contributor, whose name I'm not going to attempt, and sorry about that, pled not guilty in February after being arrested at his Boston area home. And in August the 25th status hearing, a U.S. attorney handling the case said he was preparing to turn over 33,000 audio recordings of the defendant. An August 27th letter said that in addition to the audio recordings, the government is turning over IRS, health insurance, and banking records. So quite a lot of discovery in that particular case. 33,000 phone call recordings, though. That's insane. The defendant said in an email that the recordings are the sum of all of my calls over 13 years, maybe even longer. I have better things to do than listen to my own calls with my family and friends. This is a giant waste of time. I feel for you, dude. 603-283-6160 if you want to join us. Sad news coming up. Dogs and cats left behind in Afghanistan. That's coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A new report says President Biden pressured the Afghan president to create the perception the Taliban weren't winning. Whether it's true or not, a transcript and audio of the call was obtained by Reuters. Biden reportedly telling the Afghan leader that the perception around the world and parts of Afghanistan is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban. Biden then added, and there is a need, whether it's true or not, to project a different picture. The call was made on July 23rd, 3 weeks before the Taliban seized control of the country. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is urging Americans to reconsider their Labor Day travel plans, particularly if they aren't vaccinated, amid one of the worst COVID-19 surges of the pandemic. And you're listening to USA Radio News. House Republicans are demanding answers about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan.
We must find out exactly how many Americans President Biden left behind. We must find out how much military equipment President Biden left to the Taliban.
During a House hearing on the defense budget, Alabama Republican Mike Rogers calling the withdrawal of the remaining U.S. troops disastrous. He accused President Biden of overseeing a huge blunder. Mississippi's governor says Hurricane Ida brought significant damage throughout the state.
It's less in terms of severity on any one specific point, much more about the size and the scope of the storm.
Currently, Republican Governor Tate Reeves says around 37,000 households are without power statewide, which he says is down from 136,000 at the peak of the storm. Meantime, the New Orleans Saints announced they will play their season opener in Florida due to power outages throughout New Orleans. USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. As always, you're invited to weigh in with your opinions, 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Lori, and Nikki.
And I'm really genuinely surprised. Every other time that we talked about abortion on this show, it's a hot topic, and it immediately gets the phone lines going. And we spouted our pro-choice stuff for the first 30 minutes of the show, and like nothing. I'm shocked. I'm like genuinely shocked. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. Now, I'm an animal lover, and I think everyone probably at this point knows that about me, so it makes me really sad. I'm not particularly moved about the humans left behind in Afghanistan, because anyone could have seen the writing on the wall, and any human could have seen the writing on the wall and gotten out of Afghanistan. But the dogs and the cats, they're not that fortunate. They don't know that there's a regime change coming. So a Kabul-based animal rescue tried to get dozens of dogs and cats out of the Taliban-controlled locale before American troops left, but they weren't allowed on military aircraft, said the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals International in a recent news release. Now, is the Taliban a threat to cats and dogs?
I don't think so.
I didn't think they were.
I have never
either.
Heard anything about that, but I generally think that most human beings are a threat to cats and dogs. So, I guess not cats and dogs specifically, but maybe just animals in general.
See, the sad thing to me isn't being concerned that, oh no, now the Taliban is in charge of where these dogs and cats live. It's that this means that, you know, humans left behind the dogs and cats to whom they were bonded. To me, that's that's disgraceful to abandon a pet that, you know, you're generally their entire world.
Yeah.
The couple, it is messed up. The couple Small Animal Rescue, a veterinary clinic and rescue in the Afghanistan capital, had at least 130 dogs under their care and an additional number of cats, but weren't able to get them out of the country when numerous private charter aircrafts couldn't gain access to the airport. So some of these were rescues. Why are we concerned about the rescues not being able to leave Afghanistan? I understand the ones who were in the vet or whatever, but they're also a rescue clinic. I'm not overly concerned about how the Taliban is going to handle the Kabul Small Animal Rescue, because I've never heard of any of all of the things they've said about the Taliban in the recent weeks, because they have been really crazy. I saw one article, I don't remember from who, about how the Taliban was raping corpses.
Oh my gosh, I didn't hear that one.
I didn't hear that either.
And I shared it on Facebook. I said, there is absolutely no chance that the hardcore extremist religious Taliban is raping corpses. It's a fear piece, a horror piece that is totally fabricated, and that's not even an uncommon thing to find. That one was just a bit too extravagant for anyone to believe it.
So I just did a quick Google search to see if the Taliban has ever been accused of abusing animals.
Thank you.
And everything that came up was about the U.S. government. And I typed in Taliban, and everything that came up was about, like, the U.S. government blowing up sheep and stuff. And nothing came up about the Taliban. So that's all I have to say about that.
Sounds like the animals are better off then. They were not given access to the flight we had secured to transport them out of the country. They are within the airport in an area used for housing employees at the far end of the flight line. We haven't been able to confirm the number of dogs released. During her departure from the airport on August the 30th, Charlotte, who was a rescuer, requested the U.S. military open the bags of dog food she was able to bring into the airport and scatter their contents in the area where the dogs had been released. I'm very confused because, I mean, I didn't skip ahead in the article. They just skipped ahead themselves. So presumably they released these animals, and this woman was like, hey, give them this dog food as well, I guess.
So
it's unclear.
They were in a shelter, and then they tried to fly them out of the country and couldn't, so they just let them free in the airport?
Yes, instead of... Yes, good point. Instead of just leaving them in the shelter. All military working dogs with the U.S. Armed Forces did leave with their handlers ahead of the August 31st deadline, which is good because I thought that the U.S. military had also left behind dogs in Afghanistan. But the stray animals with KSAR couldn't leave because of issues with customs. It's always customs in the way. Human dog or cat, I can't imagine the insanity of attempting to apply customs laws to dogs and cats.
It's very hard to get animals from other countries into the U.S. We, one time, me and my sister volunteered in Guatemala at a animal rescue center, and we found this dog that we fell in love with, and we were like, we got to take him home. And we were inquiring about doing that, and it was really, really complicated, and they told us even if you get all of his vaccinations and everything that he needs, you can still be denied. Like, we could get him on the plane and show up in the U.S., and still be denied by U.S. Customs. And at that point, the dog can't go back. You can't buy it a plane ticket back to Guatemala. So you basically have to have it euthanized because the U.S. won't let them in.
Jesus.
So we were like, we're not even going to risk that. We're just going to, I guess, unfortunately, leave this dog here.
So why would they have to euthanize the dog? I mean, they have to take the dog off the plane to euthanize it. I assume they don't, like, shoot it on the plane or anything. So why couldn't they?
I don't know. The Australian government recently in one province, an animal shelter, to prevent outside animal shelters from coming to pick up their animals, did shoot and kill like 19 dogs, I think it was.
At the shelter?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Euthanizing them properly, which they certainly have the capability of doing, they just shot and killed these dogs.
Euthanizing animals for no reason is just something that makes me so angry, because it's like, you could, even if it's domesticated dogs and cats, it would be better to let them run free than to murder them. And then they're going to talk about, oh, well, we're trying to save people, this, that, and the other thing. We have to put everybody on house arrest to rescue, to save all these people. Yet they're murdering hundreds of animals. And this isn't the first time Australia's did this. We had another story months ago where they murdered a bunch of feral cats.
So the thing.
Yes, I remember that.
The thing I was wondering, though, is they're not going to shoot the dog on the plane. So they have to take the dog off the plane and take it somewhere to euthanize it. So why can't they just put the dog in quarantine since they're
yeah,
not they, off the plane?
Yeah, they do it somewhere in the airport. I'm assuming
oh, really?
They have some sort of, like, medical place in the airport where they would euthanize. I don't really know exactly how it works. But they told us, and I don't know how common this is, but they told us it was a possibility, and we were like, no way, we are not risking that. The,
yeah,
the animal's
that
life
risk?
Would be better on the streets of Guatemala, then it would be dead. So.
I had no idea they had, like, a death room at the airport for
Are
animals.
You surprised, though?
No,
I mean, really,
no,
when
not
people
really.
Talk about, you know, why we need kill shelters and stuff like that, like, and just shelters in general that euthanize pets or cats and dogs, they're like, oh, we're doing it to protect the animals. No, but you're not. You're doing it so that you're not inconvenienced.
Exactly.
You could drive more slowly to make sure you don't hit the stray dogs that are running around. You could do that. And sure, many of them would starve to death. Not very many of the cats would, I don't think, but some would. Some would get eaten by dogs or whatever. That's nature. It sucks, and I hate to think about it, but it is what happens in nature. But a much better solution would be for these shelters to spay and neuter the cats.
Yeah.
Or, and dogs, and then release them back out into the wild.
And, you know, even in the United States, it is very, very hard to adopt a dog. I remember my ex-boyfriend was trying to, his dog passed away, and he was trying to adopt a dog. So, and he was, like, the best pet owner there is. You know, he was, like, very, very good with the dog, like, loved the dog, like, it was his firstborn child. And he has such a hard time adopting a dog. I even wrote this man a, like, almost like a job thing, like a letter of recommendation. Almost like he was applying for a job or, like, college or something for the dog, like, writing about how excellent of a dog owner he was. And he went through interviews. And it was, like, every single shelter in the state just denied him because he didn't have a fenced-in yard. They asked his salary. It was, like, absurd. And then they have kill shelters. So I'm like, you're making it so hard to rescue animals and then are wondering why people are buying purebred animals from breeders and why there's kill shelters. It's just, it's crazy to me why it's that hard to adopt a dog.
I hate myself to an extent for not considering, you know, getting a rescue. Of course, I wanted a golden retriever because that really fits nicely with my lifestyle. But I did go to a breeder instead of adopting some. But my cats, on the other hand, they are rescues. So I guess there is that. What are your thoughts? Should acquiring animals to be your companions be easier in the United States? I think it should be. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's...
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com. Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live. As always, you're invited to share your thoughts and opinions. 603-283-6160 if you want to do that. That's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And I wanted to say thank you to C. Hall, who is tonight's amplifier. C. Hall is a gold-level amplifier, which means that C. Hall is giving $10 per month to the AMP program. You can find out more about it at amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com. Basically, it's money that we use to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live, hence its name. We don't ask $10 per month. All it takes to join is $5 per month. That gets you in. But C. Hall has chosen to give more, and we appreciate that. So thank you so much for the contributions, and we hope you continue doing so. Check it out, amp.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones. We've got, we have Kirby calling from Indianapolis. Kirby, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, I forgot to tell you, I heard Rick, my friend Rich Paul was out and about.
He is.
So we'll, if one of y'all can talk to him, give that brother a hug for me.
Oh, I absolutely will, Kirby.
Thank you, thank you. What I wanted to mention tonight was I live in Indianapolis. We've had 178 criminal homicides this year. The previous record was 160. And this ain't going to slow down. And if you look at the news, it's like this in every major urban area in the country.
What do you think is happening? What do you think is causing it?
I mean, I could attribute part of it to COVID and people being locked away, but or maybe some of it could be the fact that COVID has got people broke. I don't know. You know, I know part of it here is the gang members that have migrated from Chicago and Gary, but that's not even going to account for the murder rate we're looking at now. I mean, in the neighborhood I live in, we had a issue with strong-arm robberies all winter. There was a mutton jet team of male and female just doing strong-arm robberies up and down all through the neighborhood all winter long.
What is a strong-arm robbery? I don't think I've ever heard the term.
They run up to you and like, give me your money or I'll beat you up.
Okay.
Strong-arm robbery.
So a mugging, and, essentially.
Yeah, but basically.
Okay.
But that was all winter, and hear this, and I mean, we hit 140 homicides before I came up for ForkFest. This is ridiculous. I've never seen it like this. And you know, my doctor today had the nerve to ask me, why do you carry a gun? I'm like, dude, you are 2 miles from Murderville.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I have been seeing this in the news over the last several months about an increase in violent crime and stuff like that, but we live in New Hampshire where violent crime is almost non-existent, so I don't see any of it. My first thought was, more fear-mongering from the media. But you actually live in one of these cities and are reporting that it's actually happening, and that's tragic.
Yeah, this is real. I went to bed at 9 o'clock last night. We had 176 murders. I woke up at 4 this morning. We had 178.
So two additional people murdered and in a single night in a...
Yep. In less than 8 hours. In 8 hours. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Previous peak year, you said it was 160, so that's less than one murder every other day.
Yeah. I mean, we had a guy shoot up a funeral a month ago.
Oh, my goodness.
He made bond last Monday. They dropped his bond from $100,000 to $25,000, put him on an ankle bracelet, no home detention. He's out here running the streets in that town right now.
I, for one, am thankful for the criminal justice system for allowing someone who shot up a funeral to be released just within a month while they kept my friend Rich Paul for almost 6 months.
Yep. And what did Rich do? Nothing.
Yeah.
He certainly didn't shoot up a funeral.
Yeah. He didn't do a thing.
And the guy who shot up a funeral killed a 4-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
Or
that's terrible.
Hit one, not killed him, but still, regardless,
he hit a 4-year-old at a funeral and is out.
Yeah,
that's insane.
He's out with lesser bail conditions than the members of the Crypto Six, mind you.
Yep.
Who are all accused of nonviolent crimes, yet this person was murdering people and is just running around free.
Yep, and people wonder why I carry a gun everywhere I go.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. I miss the ability to open carry. That's one of the things I miss most. Obviously, what I miss most is the ability to use cryptocurrency, but the second thing is the ability to open carry, to always be secure in my person.
Yeah, just the freedom you feel with the safety that comes with having a firearm on your person is very important to a lot of people.
Yep, we can do both here. They even have Bitcoin machines in the neighborhood now.
In Indianapolis?
Yep, there's one 2 blocks from me.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, in the long term, that will help the poverty situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it will, because I still say that poor people do crime because that's how they get money. If you make sure they have money, they won't do crime.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Kirby, thank you so much for the call tonight. I hope nothing happens to you out there in Indianapolis, but... Two murders in an 8-hour period when your previous year's maximum had you averaging less than one every 2 days. That's pretty horrifying. I'm glad that the mainstream media wasn't blowing things out of proportion when they talked about an increase in violent crime at the very least.
Yeah, I found something on Yahoo News saying that for the first time in history, Indianapolis appears to have surpassed Chicago as the most violent city in the Midwest.
Wow.
Yep.
So it's not just... Violent crime in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and Kirby was just saying that I guess the gangs are migrating from Chicago to Indianapolis. So I don't know if that has something to do with it.
Why?
But
why are they going to Indianapolis?
Well,
because Chicago probably isn't a great place to live nowadays. Indianapolis is better. I don't really know an excessive amount about Indianapolis, but.
Well, we also have Jeanette on the line calling from San Diego. Jeanette, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Yes, I'm calling. Well, first, yay that nobody is out. Yay, Crypto Six.
Thank you.
But the reason for my call is the San Diego County Board of Supervisors held a meeting yesterday to pass a motion to declare that COVID-19 misinformation is a public health crisis. The head of the Board of Supervisors, Nathan Fletcher, added this agenda item at the last minute, but people were able to rally and show up and speak on the topic. And the way it works is that everyone gets like 2 minutes to talk about any given agenda item.
Okay.
And they were the meeting ran from 8 a.m. until almost past midnight because because about 300 people showed up to speak against passing this this agenda item.
But they did anyway, didn't they?
But they did, yes, correct.
Well, so I'm glad everybody got their voices heard, it seems like. If they actually ran it for that long, they didn't just cut it short and say, well, sorry guys, you didn't make it.
Yes, they did. I mean, some people left because, imagine...
Yeah, understandable.
That long. But, I mean, there was enough speakers. The speakers ran from... Because they had other agenda items, and, of course, this was the last agenda item, right? So that people would give up and leave. But the speakers on this agenda item ran from about 4 p.m. to midnight, and then they ended the meeting shortly after midnight. And then this morning during a closed session, they voted to pass the notion 3-2.
At least there were two people who possibly were swayed to change their minds.
Yes, we're very lucky that the two of the supervisors, one in particular, a man named Jim Desmond, has been a proponent of how pointless these lockdowns are and masks and the importance of allowing people to make a personal choice on whether they should get this vaccine or not. And I'm so thankful, especially to Nikki, who's in the medical field, for, you know, speaking the truth about what's really going on with these vaccines. And I'm just thankful that I have Free Talk Live as a source to get the real information and not just what the mass media is trying to push.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Jeanette. I'm surprised to hear there's anyone in San Diego who isn't totally on board with this. I'm curious why you're still in San Diego. Of course, we got to go out to break, so I don't have time to ask you why you're not moving to New Hampshire. But definitely, I can't even say things are that much better in New Hampshire because there were still mask mandates here and there was still a lockdown here.
But they could not mandate forced vaccination for the kids at the Keene State, so
that's true.
That's a success.
There was definitely a success. What are your thoughts? Is COVID-19 misinformation a public health crisis? 603-283-6400.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.